Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Text 14, Canto 5, Chapter 12. Talks with Rahugana by Jed Barrett. Aham pura bharato nama raja. Vimukta drishta shruta sangha bandha. Aradhanam bhagavata ihamano. Mrigo bhavam briga sangad dhatartha. Aham para bharato nama raja. Vimukta drishta shruta sangha bandha. Aradhanam bhagavata ihamano. Nago bhavam briga sangad dhatartha. Aham. I. Pura. Formerly, in my previous birth, Bharata Nama Raja, a king of the name Maharaj Bharata, Vimukta, liberated from Drishta Shruta by experiencing personally through direct association. Or by getting knowledge from the Vedas. Sangabandha. Bondage by association. Aradhanam. The worship. Bhagavataha. Of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev. Ihamanaha. Always performing. Mriga abhavam. I became a deer. Mriga sangat. Because of my intimate association with a deer. Hatha artaha. Having neglected the regulative principles. In the discharge of devotional service. Translation, in a previous birth I was known as Maharaj Bharata. I attained perfection by becoming completely detached from material activities through direct experience and through indirect experience. I received understanding from the Vedas. I was fully engaged in the service of the Lord, but due to my misfortune, I became very affectionate to a small deer, so much so that I neglected my spiritual duties. Due to my deep affection for the deer, in my next life, I had to accept the body of a deer. Report. The incident herein described is very significant. In a previous verse, it is stated, Vina mahatpadam rajo bhishekam. One cannot attain perfection without smearing the dust from the lotus feet of an exalted devotee on his head. If one always follows the orders of the spiritual master, there's no question of falling down. As soon as a foolish disciple tries to overtake his spiritual master and become ambitious to occupy his post, he immediately falls down. Yasya prasadad bhagavat prasado yasyan prasadan nagati kutopi. If the spiritual master is considered an ordinary man, disciple surely loses his chance to advance further. Despite a very rigid life and devotional service, Bharata Maharaj did not consult a spiritual master when he became overly attached to a deer. Consequently, he became strongly attached to the deer, and forgetting his spiritual routine, he fell down. Well, curious. Here's a very explicit statement at Bhagavatam that not only, as we heard previously, that in the body of a deer, he was given remembrance of his previous life as a king. Here we're hearing in his life as Shed Bharat, he was given remembrance of his previous life as a deer and the previous life as Bharata. So all the while, when he's behaving like an avaduta, a crazy fellow, a madman, a dullard, apparently, other persons thought that was the case. He was fully aware of his previous two lifetimes, at least. Here we're getting that confirmation. He knew. Which means all of what he did from the previous chapters of this canto, it was purposeful, including this extreme challenge of some deviated Kali worshippers thinking they were going to make a human sacrifice. And they got, smeared stuff on his body and got their choppers ready to go and ready to chop him. He didn't do anything. That's extraordinary. Now, it doesn't mean, okay, Prabhu's, that's the standard. Somebody's going to chop you. You just, chant and be happy. Don't do anything. That's what was the situation for him. Maharaj Ambarish, similarly, a situation where he didn't do anything when the fiery demon came at him. His mind didn't move, his arms didn't, he's a kshatriya, nothing. Exceptional. Not to be imitated. But the personality of God had protected both of them. And, so we have some service to do. Part of our service is, service-wise, at least it's protection of the body, and we do things that are to keep the body fit for service to Krishna. In any case, fully conscious. Then comes this, classic ISKCON question. The one. How is it possible he got to the stage of Bhava Bhakti and he fell down? How is it possible? Well, it's explained in detail by our acharyas, but he consciously, not just he got attached to this deer, he consciously chose to stop his practices. And he fell down. Because let's go to Nectar Devotion. Nectar Devotion says someone who is on this bhava stage, they may not follow some regulation. And for them, they don't fall down. However, there's a qualifier. It's if that regulation interferes with this higher principle of their spontaneous affection, they may not, in that case only, neglect the regulative activities. we'll go back, step back, because maybe somebody doesn't understand. The sadhana bhakti stage is our stage. And the sadhana bhakti stage has vidhis and nishedhas. Vidhis is do's and don'ts, injunctions and prohibitions, things that are recommended, things that are prohibited, to be avoided. And one who is a sadhana bhakta, it's enjoined, it's part of our life. We do the do's and we avoid the don'ts. It's important. That's not the essence. The essence is remembering Krishna. And those have an objective. They are helpers to remember Krishna. That's the objective, that's the goal, that's the function. So, purification of the mind, to always remember Krishna, purification of the senses. Spoke a little bit about this yesterday evening. Practical activity is required also for purification of the senses, not just inert meditation, but practical activity. Engaging the senses in practical service of the master of the senses. When somebody may have some avoidance for disturbances outside, so I don't want disturbances outside, so I'll just like withdraw from the outside and just go inside and avoid disturbances. But then the senses don't become purified. And senses, according to Bhagavad Gita, and practical experience, senses are sitting, it's one of the sitting places for lust. Lust doesn't just mean gross sexual desires, that kind of lust. Lust means, in a broader sense, wanting to be the independent enjoyer of sense objects. Lust for ice cream or something. Lust for money. Be the enjoyer of something out there in the field of the objects of the senses, lusting for that. So the senses are one of the sitting places of lust. And if that's not purified, there's going to be disturbance even you stay away from the objects. That's why impersonalism doesn't work. After some time, you anesthetize the mind and the anesthesia wears off and there's attraction for the sense objects again. So, senses need to become purified. That's bhakti. Krishikena Rishikesha Sevanam. You have to purify the senses. So, purified senses engage in the service of the master of the senses. By the sadhana stage, one can come to the spontaneous stage. Stage number two. From sadhana bhakti to bhava bhakti. And in that bhava bhakti, the predominant experience is bhava. Ecstatic feeling towards the personality of Godhead. It awakens, it's there, it's just dormant, and it awakens through the properly performed sadhana bhakti stage. So then Nectar Devotion says, in that bhava stage, look back to Bharat Maharaj in a moment, in that bhava stage, if there's an ecstatic emotion that's so strong, and there's some regulation that may be neglected because of that strong ecstatic emotion in mindfulness of Krishna, the regulation may be neglected and there's no offense, there's no fall down. But that's not what Bharat Maharaj did. It wasn't like this ecstatic love situation. It was a conscious choice. He became attached to the deer. That's fine, he's a king. He's giving protection to innocent animals. It's what kings do. It's what persons who are Kshatriyas do. They give protection. No problem, give protection. and follow the regulations of bhakti. But he neglected the regulations of bhakti, not because of some ecstatic emotion, for some reason. Jiva Goswami gives the reason in his Bhakti Simdarva. For some reason, he chose, I'll neglect regulations of bhakti. Now, one of his regulations in bhakti, mentioned in that in life of Bharata, was he chanted a mantra. The mantra that he chanted is mentioned is Gayatri Mantra from the Rig Veda, and mentioned specifically is the meditation was upon Narayana, detailed Surya Narayana, the predominating deity of the sun. He was meditating on not the sun, the predominating deity of the sun. And he stopped. He stopped his mantra meditation. Not okay. Even you're on the stage of bhava, stop your mantra meditation. Stop chanting Gayatris and stop chanting Hare Krishna mantra. Now I'm on bhava stage. I go. He stopped that and doesn't give detail. Just says in principle. That's what this phrase is. The last word in the verse. Hata artaha. Hata, I looked it up. I'm not a Sanskrit scholar. But hata means forgetting, or here it says neglecting. He just dropped the regulative principles in discharging devotional service. Not because of some spontaneous, ecstatic emotion for Krishna. Not for that reason. He consistently, not on an occasion, in a circumstance, in a moment of ecstasy, neglected. He chose and he stopped. Boom, he fell down. So, can one fall from the bhava stage? Yes. Whoa, what about us? That's, you know, the implication. What about us? Well, we follow the regulations of bhakti carefully and don't neglect them carefully. So they're helpers. They're not the essence. They're helpers, and you neglect them and you lose that help. And without that help, crash landing. So we need to follow. And if one isn't following, there's some regret. And the effort, instead of just regret and lamenting and, you know, going into moroseness, is striving to reach the standard. That's Krishna's instruction to Uddhava when that circumstance is there. Taking shelter of the bhakti process, recognizing this weakness in the regular principles department, not just the four regular principles, all whatever are the devotional standards that one should follow. When there's spiritual weakness, we regret it and we strive for strength. We call for spiritual strength from Krishna and Balaram. There we are. We can ask them for strength. And strive to overcome that whatever that particular weakness or weakness says might be. So something else in this verse and purport. Vimukta, second line. Vimukta drishta shruta sangabandha. Sangha bandha is bondage by association. So he had passed the stage of bondage, bandha, by association. Now this goes back to a message from Bhagavad Gita, which says, Sangat Sanjayate Kama. Sangha, according to the association we keep, we develop qualities. Kama, desire and, you know, quality, character. Bad association, bad character, bad quality. Good association, good character, good quality. And by the association of great souls, that's what Prabhupada is referring to here, by the way, in the purport, Vina Mahatpada Rajo Bhishekam, previous verse in this canto. How does one come to this Vimukta stage? How does one come with the process? It's association of great souls. Mahat, great souls. Maha, Atma, great souls. And specifically the verse referred to says, Rajo Bhishekam, take dust from the lotus feet of that person, smear it all over your head. And then Prabhupada explains, putting a colon, excuse me, if one always follows the orders of the spiritual master, there's no question of falling down. So how to go up and how to stay up. How to come down, neglect. So how to go up is this dust from the lotus feet of can be understood as taking the instructions and placing the instructions on your head. Carrying the instructions as your life and soul, or in your heart. That's a nice place to put instructions too. But carrying instructions as your life and soul are upon your head. And neglecting instructions, it's over. No one may specifically, I don't know why Prabhupada is putting in these terms, maybe there was a situation he was dealing with where somebody fell down because they had superseded, I'm better than my spiritual master. There was one of Prabhupada's disciples who went really high. I don't mind mentioning his name. It's Nittai. Nittai became a Sanskrit scholar. The first Sanskrit scholar was Pradyumna Prabhu, who Prabhupada called Panditji. We didn't even know what that meant, to be Panditji. And then later, I had association with Thay. I know him personally. And, you know, in the course of time, he developed this desire to learn Sanskrit, which was fine. Prabhupada encouraged him. And through his Sanskrit scholarship, something happened. He became proud. I know Sanskrit. And then he started reading other things because he knew Sanskrit. Ooh. And then he started thinking, you know, Prabhupada messed up. These other things are better than what Prabhupada wrote. And he started criticizing Prabhupada. Crash landing. He fell. He became miserable. And, you know, Prabhupada chastised him. Something that Hari Sori told me is it wasn't publicly known, but Prabhupada reached out to him and encouraged him to come back to Krishna consciousness. Very lovingly. Not one of the chapters of Lilamrita that you hear about, but Hari Sori explained. So, he fell. And to this day, he writes things and it's not Krishna conscious. It's scholarly. He lost his Krishna consciousness. Because what Krishna consciousness arises from and is supported by the sadhusanga and the instructions of the spiritual master. If one thinks one becomes the spiritual master is ordinary. It's directly stated in scripture, but practically is demonstrated, experienced. One falls. Just thinking that way, because it leads to other things. Consciousness becomes contaminated by such thought. Now, how is it possible? Pride. Pride is very dangerous. And we all have some. More or less. It's rare to not have any. Pridelessness is a qualification for spiritual deliverance. So, then another point, and I'm going to end. Drishta Sangha, Drishta Shruta, Vimukta Drishta Shruta Sangha Bandha. So, Drishta Shruta, in the word for word, Drishta means to see, and Shruta means to hear. Drishta Shruta. So, in the word for word, Prabhupada has given us, by experience personally through direct association, comma, or by getting knowledge from the Vedas, Shruta, Drishta Shruta. And then, very interestingly, and he doesn't explain it in the purport, I attain perfection by, that's this Vimukta, I became perfection by becoming completely detached from material activities through direct experience, comma, and through indirect experience I received understanding from the Vedas. I was curious. Why is he making this distinction, direct and indirect? What are we supposed to understand from that? So I don't have a clear idea, but I have something of an idea. In the beginning of chapter 9, Bhagavad Gita, pratyaksha avagamam dharmyam susukham kartam avyayam. Krishna says, this knowledge, chapter 9, is meant to give pratyaksha. Pratyaksha means direct sense perception of the self by realization. Direct perception of the self by realization. This knowledge, chapter 9, is meant to give that. So, direct experience is the language here, drishta. So he had direct experience. You won't be able to see the self if there is attachment to being the enjoyer of sense objects. Say it in reverse. If there's attachment to being the enjoyer of sense objects, you won't see the self. You'll see something else. I'm the enjoyer of the sense objects. That's who I am. And if I don't have that identity, I'm nobody. I'm nowhere. I'm just like riven cloud and nothing land. So I don't want to be in nothing land. That's my identity. I'm the enjoyer of sense objects. That's who I am. And as long as that's there, there's no direct perception of the self. So the way it's worded here in the verse, detachment from material activities through direct experience. So material activities, what do they arise from? Material desire. Where does material desire arise from? Ignorance. This is our Vedic wisdom teaches. Desires of the soul, and if the soul becomes influenced by ignorance, then comes ignorant desire. Comes ignorant activity, comes suffering and forgetfulness of who you are. 1, 2, 3, 4, like domino, boom, 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 boom. Covered by ignorance, ignorant desire. Ignorant desire, ignorant activity. So how do you get rid of ignorant activity? Get rid of ignorance. Don't get rid of desire. Get rid of ignorance. So that means desire is redirected towards the Supreme. And he attained that stage. Vimukta, drishta, direct experience, detached from material activities. It wasn't artificial. It wasn't in the sadhana stage. It was in the bhava stage. And then, for some reason, Prabhupada chooses to say, and, through indirect experience, I received understanding from the Vedas. Indirect experience. Well, indirect experience precedes direct experience. That's the only thing I can intuitively understand. No explanation. Starts with hearing. We're all hearing, and we're not necessarily experiencing. The direct experience is ignorance is gone. And with ignorance gone, ignorant desire is gone. With ignorant desire, ignorant activity. That's direct experience. And preceding that is, I just hear. You have to hear with quality. We're hearing, not with quality, because the mind is somewhere else. The contaminations are lingering within the senses and with the mind. So that's all I can gather. This indirect, I knew it was going to be asked, so I'm spending time with the answer before you ask it. Indirect seems to be, without explanation from Prabhupada or Acharyas, seems to be, and maybe there's some other references where he makes this comparison, direct, indirect. But in any case, it's hearing. Hearing in a quality way leads to direct experience. Just like chapter 9. This knowledge is meant to give direct perception of the self for realization. You know, many people read chapter 9, Bhagavad Gita, don't get that direct perception of the self for realization. So it's preliminary. Beginning. Necessity. But not complete yet. Not the direct experience yet. Oh. Vimukta drishta shruta sangabandha. Sangabandha. Bondage by association. Bondage by association with ignorance and ignorant activity and ignorant desire and ignorant people and, you know, material consciousness. He was at that stage. But he's explaining to the king, like you, my dear king, you're attached. You're attached to this ignorant understanding of your identity. I'm the king. You're my subject. You obey me or else. False ego. Knowledge of the true self is covered. We read that last night in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, text 17. Okay, so discussion. Sure.
Guru Maharaj, you already told my first question and you answered
it. Okay.
Just
the
bhava. Yeah. So I was thinking about this. King Bharat says that due to my misfortune, yesterday evening you told the example of King Parikshit Maharaj. About like putting the snake around the sages is externally it may look different act, but internally there is a super soul.
That's different.
That's the difference.
Different.
So this
Parikshit was it was Krishna's arrangement. Bharat Maharaj wasn't Krishna's arrangement.
Hmm.
This is Bhubu. Okay?
Sure.
You're holding the microphone like you're going to say something else again. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I mean, in their cases, it's like we could, since we see it in the book and we understand that misfortune is for some reason and this misfortune is like
a...
So for our cases, all that, you know, we cannot that state to understand, you know, sometimes what we do is due to a fortunate or due to misfortunate. You know, it's so hard to analyze and...
Yeah, same question as last night. But I don't see where the line is. Because our consciousness is muddled.
Mm-hmm.
We're in this mixed position. We can't discern. Okay.
So, you also said yesterday evening class that since our intelligence is weak, it is hard to decide all that. So, how do we bring that intelligence?
How do we do what?
Bring that intelligence to be strong and in a right.
Just focus on the principle of bhakti. That's how. Krishna is to be pleased. When we make those, you know, errors, it's misfortune of the kind that Bharat Maharaj did by contaminated consciousness, by consciousness that's less than pure. That's reality.
Mm.
Our consciousness is less than pure. That's our misfortune.
Mm.
Correction? Krishna should be pleased. And just with determination, it can't be stopped. Even there's setback, even there's this and that, even anything. Just keep pursuing that with faith.
Mm. Thank you, Maharaj.
Okay. Trouble?
Thank you, Guru Maharaj. I have two questions. One is on the purport Prabhupada expressed, Vina Mahat Pada Rajo Abhishekam.
Yeah.
As you elaborated, taking the dust means taking the instructions on the head and
that's
neck
right.
And so.
What's your question?
As a sadhaka, we receive many instructions on the journey, and some of them we request to modify and move forward. How to assimilate all this instruction and tie it back to the principal instruction?
Well, there's core instructions, just like this one I just gave. Same as last night, same as this morning, same as your question. Krishna is to be pleased. Don't deviate from that. Whatever you do, cultivate that. That's the king. That's the emperor. We serve the emperor. All other things are subordinate to the emperor. And by that method, then we'll always remember Krishna. Because we just want to please Krishna. That's bhakti. It's in, you know, the scriptural evidence for that is Rupa Goswami's definition of what is bhakti. Anukoyeni Krishna Anushilana. Second question.
Maharaj, this verse is talking about bhava. Out of curiosity.
Out of curiosity?
Out of curiosity. It's a little bit of college student question.
Okay, college question.
One who is in a fully realized stage, like a bhava.
For one who is in that
stage. How do they relate the external world?
How do they relate?
Like external.
Service. Opportunities for service given by Krishna. Someone else? Yeah.
Maharaj, you're speaking about avoidance of disturbance by withdrawing does not purify the senses.
Yeah.
In the sadhana stage, because the senses need to be purified.
Yeah.
At the same time, for particular persons, it may seem valuable to withdraw.
Sure.
In certain circumstances, yes. For the purpose of...
Yes. It was mentioned last night. The example the Prabhupada gives is, sometimes in fighting a battle, it's necessary to withdraw, regain your forces before you go forward in the battle again. A strategy. Mm-hmm. It's not a permanent situation in the battle and in purification. You know, at some point, it's actually, you know, I said it several times, purposefully.
Yeah.
Each person, we have to know our, you know, strengths and our capacity. Fools rush in. Or angels fear to tread. There's that saying. So we have to be mindful of our capacity. Courageous and careful at the same time.
That's a balance.
Yeah. But for the pleasure of Krishna, right?
Yes, Maharaj.
Okay.
I had another question I forgot.
Okay. Nothing? Come on.
I'm still formulating it.
You can give the microphone to her. You have a question?
I was just passing
it. Oh, just passing. Okay.
In the beginning of class, Guru Maharaj, you were speaking about Maharaj Ambarish. And his example of not being disturbed even when the fiery demon comes at him. So Maharaj Ambarish is, you know, this amazing personality who's, you mentioned yesterday in class, this morning, mindfulness on Krishna. It's just, you know, doesn't, the mind does not deviate. Even he had the entire world to take care of. His mind was completely fixed on Krishna.
Mm.
And even when the adversity came, the mind is completely fixed on Krishna. He's someone that I've been trying to derive inspiration from during chanting, because that is the moment of connection to Krishna.
Yes.
That is the essence of our life.
Yes.
And no matter what the disturbances or even the pleasantries going on in our life, at that moment, consciousness has to be fixed just on...
Yes.
And even though that inspiration is there, you know, the mind goes everywhere, and then, you know, keep coming back to Maharaj Ambarish's example, just looking for some inspiration, how to sustain... I have faith that if I can do this during chanting, the rest of my life will fall in place.
That's correct.
And I'm finding it difficult to
but
do
that. Okay. I'll say two things. There's like 5,000 things, but I'll say two. Faith. When faith needs to be nourished, it's insufficient. It's more than it was, you know, some time ago, but it's insufficient to stay. So, you nurture faith. And one of the ways to nurture faith is association with those that have faith. And another is the act of knowledge. And it gives realization, and that nurtures faith. So a point of knowledge is serve the name when chanting, and then it carries on to other things of service. Servant of the name doesn't change. Once that consciousness has been restored, because the name is the person. But the access to the person for us is through the name. Just that sound. The sound has form. It's nice meditation. And it is true. And I'm repeating, I haven't decided yet what I'm going to speak about for the evening classes, and I was going to discuss this with Lord Gopal, but I'm thinking just to repeat, you know, the same presentations as we did at the Festival of the Holy Name, because I just had the experience of repeating in China. We call it something different, and, you know, the circumstance was certainly different, but same message, and it's a good message. Really good message. So, maybe that's what we'll do. And you can look it up before the class. Maybe that's probably what it will be. Adi Lila Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi 8 text number 16. Adi 8.16. Prabhupada discusses this point, which was by the mood of being the servant of the name, Krishna reveals himself. Not his word-for-word language, but you want to experience relationship with Krishna, be the servant of the name. And you cultivate that mood of servants to the name, and you'll get closer to where you want to go. Who knows what you'll do if a fiery demon comes at you, or who knows what you'll do if, you know, whatever, a snake bird comes to, who knows what you'll do. But you'll get closer to the place where whatever you're going to do, it's for the pleasure of Krishna. Whatever. In chapter 6 of Bhagavad Gita, text 18 or 19, Krishna describes the happiness that's within for someone who has come to that stage where the mind is fixed. There's nothing that can deviate the mind from that place. Positive, negative, you know, happiness, distress. You know, good fortune, misfortune. Nothing can deviate the mind. That's samadhi. But, you know, that's we want to get there. And there's a means to get there. Just chanting properly. So there's faith. Now back to your question. There's faith, but it's not sufficient. Keep nourishing. Keep moving on that path, faith in the name. And how to connect with the name. Serve the name. When chanting, it's a service. And all the other things are also services. Is anybody else besides Shravan? Because otherwise this is going to be the last question. Chakri, anything? You good? Okay. Anything, any comment, question?
Well, since you brought it up.
Sure, I have brought it up.
I think a lot.
Yeah.
Some devotees say that, no one can know the plan of Krishna.
Right.
So they say that, I think they said that this happened also is a plan of the Lord.
Yeah.
And that was the reason, as opposed maybe to some devotees say that the reason was differently. So,
which one? Which one are you referring to?
The fall down of Bharat.
Yeah. Jiva Goswami explains the cause. You want to hear?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, how do we know? Somebody says nobody knows. Jiva Goswami knows. This is what he said. And he uses logic as well as, you know, his own realization. He says, he uses it an example in Bhakti Sandarbha to explain anartha. Anartha is something that has arisen in the heart due to some previous offense. Jiva Goswami says, the appearance of the deer was due to some unfulfilled desire in the past, prarabdha karma, but bhakti is powerful that prarabdha karma can't cause fall down. Therefore, by logic, using anuman, inference and logic and reason, there was another cause than the prarabdha karma, because that can't stand in bhakti, what to speak of bhava bhakti. He declares, it's due to anartha from a previous life that he was carrying into this life, and even he got to the bhava stage. Bhava is not sufficient to remove anarthas. Or, anartha has the power to block the power of bhakti. And then he chose, due to that anartha from a previous lifetime, that's why he chose. The anartha of a previous lifetime carried into this lifetime, he chose neglect bhakti. That's what Jiva Goswami says. Now, it's not that because he fell, the anartha went away. But he learned, although that anartha was there, the anartha became cleared by bhakti that didn't deviate. You know, back to Sri Radhika's question. You know, we struggle. Who doesn't? Any sincere devotee knows that there's struggle. Even the insincere devotee knows that there's struggle, but it's a struggle to get to the higher stages of bhakti, and it's not, you know, there's no toll gates there. There's obstacles, and then you have to address them. So he addressed it later. He chose consciously to not deviate again, although, and that dissolved the anartha. Now, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur discusses this in Madhurya Kandamani chapter 3, I think it is. And Jiva Goswami later describes that, you know, bhakti, anarthas can be eradicated, but it takes much longer than sin. Sin is dissolved by the power of bhakti. Anartha is more stubborn, far more serious. That's big. Far more serious than sin. You know, one may become cleansed of sin, become a Christian and accept Christ, and your sin is gone. What about your anarthas? Small thing. And whatever the process of prayaschitta, overcoming sin, what about those anarthas, those stubborn, they didn't even have a concept of it, what to speak of how to remove. So it takes commitment. Now, the bhakti process provides the means. Take it seriously. It's an equal opportunity message. But that's the explanation given by Jiva Goswami. Why? Anartha from previous life causing him, prompting him to choose wrongly. He didn't have to, he chose. That's why. Last question.
Maharaj, this is regarding the pride.
Regarding what?
Pride.
Pride.
And you mentioned pride is very dangerous. And you gave the example of disciple and spiritual master also, how it interrupted.
Bhagavatam.
As growing sadhakas, like you mentioned, sure enough there is a pride. How to?
I mentioned what?
Sure enough, there is a pride. Everyone has some degree of
within. Yeah. Okay.
How to watch out and be careful?
Yes. So your question?
How to watch out?
How to watch out? You don't need binoculars. It's out there somewhere. I know it's out there somewhere. You know, monitoring contaminations within should be minimally a daily affair. It's the consciousness you're asking how to, but I'm responding that it's a responsibility. We talked yesterday about responsibility and responsible life. It's a responsibility to monitor contamination, and pride is one of them. So we monitor that one. You know, now your question before was so many instructions. How do Krishna is to be pleased? Okay. Put that in the emperor position, and you'll find pride. And you'll find layers and layers and layers, and keep going. It's an introspection process directed by the desire to please Krishna. Krishna gives the spiritual intelligence buddhi how to come to him, which includes, look at this pride. And then you go, yuck. I thought I was doing good. Look at all that pride. And then, you know, clean it, and then there's another pile. No, just keep cleaning. The process of wanting to please Krishna and introspecting to see how am I doing. And be honest, and I'm not doing so well. By the way, I took that little image that you sent and presented it in China. I didn't mention your name. You know, the black and the white, that one, and then Krishna's response. And then I kind of made my own after that. So nice. You know, we're not alone. Krishna knows, and we know some of what Krishna knows already. You know, Krishna knows that we know. He's given us that knowledge to know. And then Krishna will give his support. So, you know, that's what you do when you find the mountain of pride. You go to Krishna. We're done.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you.